On the first day of April, Davidson sets out on the last exploration of those strange hallways and rooms. The card introduces these sequences as nothing more than Exploration Number 5. For recording the adventure, Davidson brought with him a 1962 H16 hand-cranked Bolex 16mm camera, along with 16mm, 25mm, 75mm Karen pillared lenses and a Bogen tripod. He also carried a Sony microcassette recorder, Panasonic Hi-8, ample batteries, at least a dozen 120-minute metal evaporated DLC tapes, as well as a 35mm Nikon flash and a USA Bobby Lee camera strap. For film, he packed 3,000 feet of 7,298 16mm Kodak in 100-foot loads, 20 rolls of 35mm, including some 36-frame Konica 3200 speed, plus 10 rolls of assorted black and white film. Unfortunately, a thermal video camera he had arranged to rent fell through at the last minute. For survival gear, Davidson took with him a rated sleeping bag, a one-man tent, rations for 2 weeks, 2 5-gallon containers of water, chemical heat packs, flares, high-intensity as well as regular-intensity light sticks, plenty of neon markers, fishing line, 3 flashlights, 1 small pumper light, extra batteries, a Corbid lamp, matches, toothbrush, stove, change of clothes, an extra sweater, extra socks, toilet paper, a small medical kit, and 1 book, all of which he carefully loaded into a 2-wheel trailer which he secured to an aluminum frame mountain bike. For light, he mounted a lamp on the bike's handlebars powered by a rechargeable battery connected to a small optional reroll generator. He also installed an odometer. As we can see, when Davidson first starts down the hallway, he does not head for the spiral staircase. This time he chooses to explore the corridors. Due to the weight of the trailer, he moves very slowly, but as we hear him note in the microcassette recorder, "I'm in no hurry." Frequently, he stops to take stills and shoot a little film. After 2 hours, he's only managed to go 7 miles. He stops for a sip of water, puts up a neon marker, and then after checking his watch, begins pedaling again. Little does he understand the significance of his offhand remark. It seems to be getting a little easier. Soon, however, he realizes there's a definite decrease in resistance. After an hour, he no longer needs to pedal. This always seems to be on the decline. In fact, all I do now is brake. When he finally stops for the night, the odometer reads an incredible 163 miles. After he sets up camp in a small room, Davidson already knows his trip is over. After going downhill for 8 hours at nearly 20 miles per hour, it'll probably take me 6-7 days, maybe more, to get back to where I started from. When Davidson wakes up the next morning, he eats a quick breakfast, points the bike home, and begins what he expects to be appalling, perhaps impossible, effort. However, within a few minutes, he finds he no longer needs to pedal. Once again, he is heading downhill. Assuming he has become disoriented, he turns around and begins pedaling in the opposite direction, which should be uphill, but within 15 seconds, he is again coasting down a slope. Confused, he pulls into a large room and tries to gather his thoughts. It's as if I'm moving along a surface that always tilts downward no matter which direction I face. Resigned to his fate, Davidson climbs back onto the bike, and soon enough finds himself clipping along at almost 30 miles an hour. For the next 5 days, Davidson covers anywhere from 240 to 300 miles at a time, though on the 5th day, in what amounts to an absurd 14-hour marathon, Davidson logs 428 miles. Nor does this endless corridor he travels remain the same size.
Sometimes the ceiling drops in on him,
getting progressively lower and lower until it begins to raise its head, only to shift a few minutes later, rising higher and higher until it disappears altogether. Sometimes the hallway widens until at one point Davidson swears he is moving down some enormous plateau. An infinitely large billiard table, or the smooth face of some incredible mountain, he tells us hours later, while preparing a modest meal. One time I stopped and set out on the right on what I thought would be a traverse. Within seconds I was heading downhill again. And then the walls reappear, along with the ceiling and numerous doorways, the shifts always accompanied by the inevitable, but now very familiar, growl. As the days pass, Davidson becomes more and more aware that he is running precariously low on water and food. Even worse, the sense of inevitable doom this causes him is compounded by the sense of immediate doom he feels whenever he begins riding the bike. I can't help thinking I'm going to reach the edge of this thing, going too fast, stop, and just fly into darkness. Which is almost what happens. On the 12th or 13th day, it is very difficult to tell which. After sleeping for what Davidson estimates must have been well over 18 hours, he again sets off down the hallway. Soon the walls end, doorways recede, and vanish. Then the ceiling lifts until it too is completely out of sight. Direction no longer matters. Davidson stops and lights four magnesium flares, which he throws as far as he can to the right and left. Then he bikes down 100 yards and lights four more flares. After the third time, he turns around and, relying on time exposure, photographs the 12 flares. The first image captures 12 holes of light. In the second image, however, the flares seem much further away. By the third image, they appear only as streaks, indicating either Davidson or the flares are moving. However, Davidson comments on the microcassette recorder, indicating his camera was firmly fixed on the tripod. Having little choice, Davidson continues on. The hours sweep by. He tries to drink as little water as possible. The odometer breaks. Davidson does not care. It no longer seems relevant to him how many thousands of miles he has traveled. He just continues to ride, lost in a trance born out of the motion and darkness. The lamp on his bike never casting light more than a few yards ahead, barely describing the ash floor in front of him before it is already behind him, until all of a sudden, although nothing appears to have changed, one moment differs from the rest, warning Davidson to stop. As if all along during the last week, I had sensed something out there. Davidson stutters into the H8 an hour later, then all at once it was gone, replaced by...
Footnote! Davidson is not the only one to have intuitively sensed the abyss. During the tragic May assault on Everest when 11 people died, Neil Bedlam, lost at night in a blinding blizzard, described how he stumbled into the edge of the 7,000-foot Kangshung face. Finally, probably around 10 o'clock, I walked over this little rise. It felt like I was standing on the edge of the earth. I could sense a huge void just beyond. See John Crocker's Into Thin Air in Outside, V.XXI, N.9, September 1996, page 64.